Welcome to the End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. This week I picked a pretty simple question as I plan on this being a shortened episode. I've been really busy with work and also preparing for the Kappa Conference this week in Dallas. I really look forward to mingling with other researchers and maybe talking about anything new on the case. I also look forward to meeting many of you that I know are coming to Dallas this week. I know that there are several dozen of our listeners coming that I've promised signed books to, and also have arranged tours in and around the Dallas assassination sites. But first, let's get to this week's questions. They come from Chad in Hannibal, Missouri. He asks, who were the law enforcement officers on the Triple Overpass Railroad Bridge during the assassination? And why didn't they run behind the picket fence on the north side of Elm Street after the shooting, as did Sam Skinny Holland and other railroad workers?
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting. Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
We got a shooting out here. It's a police officer. Somebody shot him. What's the name? It's a police car. Number 10. He's dead.
Officer J.D. Tippett, 38 years of age, was killed today.
I've been charged with that. In fact, nobody has said that to me yet. The first thing I heard about it was when the newspaper reporters in the hall asked me that question.
You shoot the president?
I work in that building.
Were you with the building
at the time? Naturally, if I work in that building, yes, sir.
Back up, man.
Concern for the safety of your prisoner?
No, I don't think that, that the people are trying to take the prisoner away from us.
We went out by Captain Prince. There is the prisoner. There is Leon.
He's been shot. Lee Oswald has been shot. There's a man with a gun. It's absolute panic. Absolute panic here in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. Detectives have their guns drawn. Oswald has been shot. There is no question about it. Oswald has been shot.
Mr. Oswald died at 1:07 our time in the operating room of the gunshot wound which he had received.
22nd. Where were you?
November the 22nd, I was standing on top of the Triple Underpass, waiting for the parade in the president's car. I arrived about 11:45 or close to noon. Two policemen was talking to me and asked me, one of them asked me if I would come back up there and identify the people that had any business or had a right to be up there.
They would be the railroad employees?
They'd be railroad employees, and I told him I would.
What was your position with the railroad company?
Track and signal supervisor for the Union Terminal Railroad. I've put in 41 years of railroad service in the signal department.
Did you look in any particular direction when you heard the shots?
Yes, I looked over to where I thought the shot came from, and I saw a puff of smoke still lingering underneath the trees in front of the wooden fence. The report sounded like it came from behind the wooden fence, and a policeman threw his motorcycle down in the middle of the street and run up the embankment, his pistol drawn. He was running toward that particular spot. And also another motorcycle policeman right behind him tried to ride up the embankment on his motorcycle, and it turned over about halfway up the embankment. And he got out and got off his motorcycle and left it laying there and run on over to the fence with his gun in his hand.
Where do you think the shots came from?
Well, I know where that third shot came from.
Where did that shot come from?
Behind the picket fence.
Is there any...
Close to the little plaza.
Is there any doubt in your mind that that shot came from behind the...
There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt whatsoever in my mind in the statement that I made in the sheriff's office immediately after the shooting and the statement that I made to the Warren Commission. And I made it very plain there was no doubt in my mind what there was definitely a shot fired behind that picket fence. I made it plain to the Warren Commission, and I think I made the same statement in the sheriff's office. There was a fourth shot.
On November 22nd, Mr. Holland, did you tell the sheriff's office in an affidavit you signed that day that you saw a puff of smoke come from behind the picket fence?
I am certain I did.
Was it the general feeling, would you say, Mr. Holland, among the police officers and others, at the moment that the shots were fired, that at least one shot came from behind that wooden fence?
There's about six of eight of us boys from the Union Terminal run around there to find some evidence that there was someone around there. Certainly the ones that was with me that run around that fence realized what was happening. They told me the same thing that I told you, that there was definitely a shot fired, and they saw the smoke. We just all started running around that fence as a unit.
On April 9, 1964, Dallas Police Officer J.C. White testified to Warren Commission Assistant Counsel Joseph Ball that he was stationed on the west side of the Triple Overpass. He said he was standing approximately above the north curb on Elm Street at the time of the shooting. He said he was up there with another Dallas police officer, J.W. Foster, who was on the east side of the overpass. Officer White said after the shooting, he went to the northwest side of the book depository where a bunch of other officers had gathered. After about 30 minutes, he was told to go work traffic at the intersection of Main and Houston. In a 1991 interview, Dallas Police Officer J.W. Foster said during the shooting, he had observed a bullet striking a manhole cover on the south side of Elm Street. After the shooting, Officer Foster went to the area where he saw the bullet strike. On April 8, 1964, Officer J.E. Murphy testified to Warren Commission Assistant Counsel Joseph Ball that he was on the Triple Overpass Bridge at the time of the assassination. He said he was standing directly over Elm Street. After the shooting, Officer Murphy went to assist at the book depository and spent the next 60 to 90 minutes there. Dallas Chief of Police Jesse Curry was riding in the lead car of the presidential motorcade with Sheriff Bill Decker when they turned west off Houston onto Elm Street. Looking straight ahead, they noticed, quote, a few unauthorized people on the overpass and wondered how they got there, end quote. Those people were later described as 13 railroad men and several Dallas police officers who were stationed on the overpass, apparently against rules of protocol. But all these policemen said that they were told to be stationed on the overpass. So who is lying here? The three policemen or Chief Curry? After the presidential motorcade had proceeded a few more yards, Curry heard the first gunshot and immediately shouted over the police radio, quote, get a man on top of that triple underpass and see what happened up there, end quote. His words sounded an alarm that something was dreadfully wrong. Earl V. Brown was a Dallas police officer on duty for Kennedy's parade. He was one of the officers on the railroad overpass, where he had a clear view of the presidential motorcade and the Texas School Book Depository. In an interview I did with him back in 1994, he told me, quote, As the president's limousine proceeded down Elm Street in Dealey Plaza, I heard three gunshots. Then we saw the car coming with the president. And as it passed underneath me, I looked right down and I could see this officer in the back. He had this gun and he was swinging it around. Looked like a machine gun. And the president was all sprawled out, his foot on the back cushion. After the shooting, some railroad men that were running to behind the picket fence area on the grassy knoll, because there was some smoke seen there coming from underneath the trees at the top of the knoll. We ran around but saw no one there. We were then instructed to investigate the area surrounding the school book depository and to write down the license plate numbers of the cars parked nearby. Chad, to answer your questions, it seems that of the police officers that were on the triple overpass at the time of the shooting, the only one that went near the picket fence area after the shooting seems to be Officer Earl Brown, and he saw no one behind the picket fence area. How long after the shooting did he and the railroad workers go to that area is the big question that I don't think has ever been truly answered. I do believe there was a shooter and possibly a spotter behind the picket fence at the top of the grassy knoll, but I think they did their deed and got out of the area within a few seconds. It's a shame that Officer Brown didn't run into some of the Secret Service agents, or fake Secret Service agents, that were trying to lure people away from the picket fence area at the top of the grassy knoll. We know that others had encountered these men. Chad from Hannibal, Missouri, thanks for listening to the podcast, and thanks for your email. I hope I answered your questions. I've received hundreds of emails since I started this podcast, asking me what were some of the things that happened on the day of the assassination or afterwards that lead me to believe that there was a conspiracy to kill John F. Kennedy. What are some of the absolutes that I stand by when it comes to the Kennedy assassination that I feel proves a conspiracy, or at least things are not what they seem to be, or what we were told they were? Next week, in honor of the 61st anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy, I'm starting a new miniseries that I'm calling the JFK Assassination Hills to Die On. A hill to die on means a cause, belief, or position that someone is so strongly committed to that they are willing to fight for it to the very end, even if it means facing significant consequences or defeat. Essentially, it's an issue someone considers so important that they are prepared to stand their ground no matter what. So starting next week, over the next several episodes, I'll be covering what I feel like are some hills to die on when it comes to the JFK assassination. If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. Also this week, I'd like to announce that I'll be speaking at the Citizens Against Political Assassinations, or otherwise known as CAPA, conference in Dallas in November. If you'd like to get a signed copy of my book or just meet and talk about the case, I'd love to see you there in November. The conference runs from Friday, November 22nd to Sunday, November 24th. I will be speaking about my book, The End of Innocence, and also I'll be speaking about the presence of professional assassins in Dealey Plaza the day President Kennedy was killed. I'll also be speaking about a second arrest in the Texas Theater that day. You can get tickets for the conference at www.capa-us.org. Hope to see you there. I've received hundreds of emails since I started this podcast, asking me what were some of the things that happened on the day of the assassination or afterwards that lead me to believe that there was a conspiracy to kill John F. Kennedy. What are some of the absolutes that I stand by when it comes to the Kennedy assassination that I feel proves a conspiracy, or at least things are not what they seem to be, or what we were told they were? Next week, I start a new miniseries that I'm calling The JFK Assassination: Hills to Die On. A hill to die on means a cause, belief, or position that someone is so strongly committed to that they are willing to fight for it to the very end, even if it means facing significant consequences or defeat. Essentially, it's an issue someone considers so important that they are prepared to stand their ground no matter what. So starting next week, over the next several episodes, I'll be covering what I feel like are some hills to die on when it comes to the JFK assassination. I'm starting a new miniseries that I'm calling The JFK Assassination: Hills to Die On.